as you wait in anxious anticipation. Pencil ready. Note sheets there. Here we go. Well, we're rolling, and I really didn't intend when I began the first message in Colossians, I didn't know that I would camp out there for a few Sundays. But then the Lord just began to weigh me down with, okay, what are you going to do? Say these are the things that we don't do, and we don't talk about the things that we need to do, should do, if we're going to stay above the tide. And so we need at least, hope today we may move out of this, go to something else, but we've talked about spiritual darkness. And we've talked about the things that can lead you into spiritual darkness. And the unwholesome words. And has anybody, have any of you struggled this past week with this very stuff? Isn't it amazing? I knew when I brought the message, and I thought, you're going to be tested in it. Every time when you talk about don't lie to each other, don't, you know, get rid of filthy language and or unwholesome words, whatever your translation says, and having all that. Any of you find that when you're really purposely trying to get rid of these things, that every kind of thing happens to you to make them come around? Yeah. And somebody will just mess with you. Stupid stuff will happen. And there was two or three, a couple of things with me, you know, this past week. And I'm just out there for me, it was just mad. I was just mad. You know, do you ever just have those days when you're just mad? Does anybody ever wake up mad? You just don't know why, but you're just mad today? Okay, thank you. You know, well, you're not alone. It happens to me too. And I don't know, it's like, what did I dream? I don't know what went on during the night. But you just wake up and you're mad. Or you're just discouraged, or you're so depressed. You can't. Anybody ever do that? You just wake up and for some reason, yeah, you're just depressed. Oh, there's one. Yeah, okay. Oh, you can testify. That really happens. But okay. Just and you're going, what did I do? You know, but you know, there they are, and of course we're going to blame ourselves when they're depressed. You know, what did I do? You know, and you didn't do anything. Leave me alone. And it's like, okay. Anyway, sound familiar? Okay. And when we have those days, and really, and I want to tell you, I'm not trying to, I don't want to play this too far, but there are forces out there. Remember, that's why we've talked about this. You be aware of them. There are forces of darkness that mess with their lives, and they want you to. The devil wants you depressed. He wants you discouraged. I will tell you, and I heard this from on the radio back, and as a pastor from Brady of all places, bringing a message to his congregation, and he said, I want you to know I'm not suffering from depression. Apparently, some people in this congregation had been, you know how people talk, and pastors got depression. He said, I am not. He said, I do not suffer from chronic depression. And I thought, what is he trying to say? He said, I suffer from chronic discouragement. And I thought, buddy, I've never heard it put so well. And I thought, Tony, in your own life, is it depression or discouragement? I thought, discouragement. Chronic discouragement. And how many of you, when you think about it, it might not just be depression, but it's just discouragement. We suffer from that, don't we? And it's just the way the world seems to be going, and the stuff and everything around you. And I thought, in my own life in ministry, I've not known depression that much, or at least I haven't been treated for it. You know, I try to watch for those, but he hit it on the head, and it's like, but do you suffer from chronic discouragement? Yes, and how many of us do? So anyway, that was a whole new thing, a new insight. So maybe those of you waking up depressed, I wonder sometimes if you're just waking up discouraged, are you maybe waking up depressed? Hormones don't work right, you know, certain chemicals, stuff you ate the night before, but whatever it is. But the devil, just know this, the enemy is trying to always keep you on the dark side or get you over there, and he'll use depression, discouragement, all the things that people can say and do to get you to use unwholesome words and just, you know, it just keep you upset all the time. I was watching here just this past week, and oh, I wanted to ask this question. I know I hate doing this when I'm up, but anyway, I'm going to do it anyway. How many of you have Dish? Anybody use have Dish satellite? You do? You do? Okay. I'm trying to figure out, have you noticed that Dish has gotten extremely political? And they're one-sided, and that's as far as I'll go with that. But I'm tired of them. I'm really tired of the one-sided. I don't mind if you show this over here, but come over and show this over here. But when you just show me one side, one side, one side, then what have you got to hide? I mean, you're not being right. So here I am, and I just want to, and I don't even have a big old Dish package, but it's all I can get where I live, if you live out like that. And I've got this little basic thing, but this political stuff they keep running is one-sided. And I just thought, is anybody else experiencing this? Does anybody have DirecTV? Are they political? So-so, but not okay, so they're not as one-sided as the other, is what I'm talking about here. Oh, okay. I have Dish. Okay, and they're running really just one side, I mean, and hard, and doing interviews. And they've got this one channel called the Studio Channel. I can't even watch it, and I have that on mine. Because one of the big executives of Dish is always interviewing people on one side of the fence. And it's very slanderous towards everybody else. And it's like, look, wait a minute. I'm paying you to just have programming, not to hear your slimy opinions. That's the way I feel. So, you know, and so I texted them and said, I just want to know, you know, do you just want the money or do you have any care? Do you care at all about the people that watch this? Because they sent out a survey and said, how do you feel about Dish? I sent that in. You know what they said? Nothing. No response. So I hope you're listening up there because I will be encouraging people to switch if you don't stop it. Really? It's a way to do it. Hurt your pocketbook, you'll shut up. You know, so there you go. Okay, so I had my little, I should have been on my soapbox. Let me get up here real quick. That was a soapbox thing. Stop it. Okay, now I'll get back over here to the message. Now, this is God's word. That was mine. This is God's word now. Let's go to it. So I just wanted to ask you. So anyway, making the right choice is the title of this message. And the first point in this is you are God's choice. Everybody in this room needs to hear this, regardless of how you feel about yourself. And you say, so you weren't rambling a while ago, were you, with the depression? No. Even if you wake up chronically discouraged, chronically depressed, or if you feel like your life has just been made a wreck by other people, other things, circumstances, no matter what, I want you to know something. You're still God's choice. Let me read this. Take encouragement this morning, and no matter what happens tomorrow, the rest of this day, the coming days, next week, the week after that, keep this, hear this. You're still God's choice. God chose you. Let you hear this. Since God chose you, this is verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, necessary, because we've been talking about darkness and all the gloomy stuff and all the bad language that can come out, and God says get rid of all that junk and live above it. That's so hard to do. That is really hard to do. And so, but through the power of Christ, you can do it. So let me read this, and then we'll get back to the commentary on it, okay, and to the message on it. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves. Hope you get that line. God chose you to be what? The holy people that He what? That He loves. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. He chose you, and then you said yes. So we'll come back to some of that. He said, since He did this, you must clothe yourselves. He said, put this on like clothing. Clothe yourselves with tender. This is a New Living Translation. You may have another translation. It'll say it just a little different, but it means the same thing. But I like the way this one read. I've been using the New International, but the New Living read better on this passage, and whichever reads the best, that's the one I use. So He says, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and the one that everybody in this room has most of is and patience. Now, there's one exemption over the table over here, and But he says, clothe yourself with all this. And then it gets even better. He says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Do you ever just want to take some of these and just kind of black them out? You say, can I just take a marker and just, you know, and you know, you mean, it's like, God, seriously, is this, do I have to do this to keep out of darkness? That's the key here. This is not a bunch of pressure God's putting on you. God knows people. He made us. And he's saying, you've got to do this to stay out of darkness. You have to do this or you'll be cussing all the time. You'll use dirty language. You'll lie to each other. You'll do all the things that in the previous verses he said, I don't want you doing because that's out of darkness. He said, the way to stay out of darkness, you have to focus on this, focus on this, focus on this. Is everybody with me? You know, if you want to stop doing something, break a habit, an addiction, don't focus on the habit, don't focus on the addiction. You've got to focus on something new, different. If you keep focusing on the negative, you won't get out of the negative. If you keep saying to yourself, I'm not going to drink that anymore, I'm not going to take that stuff anymore, I'm not going to smoke that anymore, I'm not. How many of you have ever said, I'm going to stop cussing today, I'm not going to cuss again? Okay, and you've started focusing on, I'm not going to cuss, I'm not going to cuss, I'm not going to cuss, you're just cussing up a storm. You know why? Because without realizing it, you're using negative reinforcement and you're saying cuss, 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 cuss. So you say, what God knows us. And so what God said is, don't focus on the thing you want to get rid of. Focus on something new that will replace it. That's good for you. And so that's why he's talking about that he chose you to be the holy people he loves. And he's saying, don't focus on what you don't want to do. Start focusing on what I want you to become, and you'll get past this a whole lot. And so that's why he says the tenderhearted mercy, humility, kindness, gentleness, patience, making allowance for each other's faults, forgive anyone who offends you. And he says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must, he says, that's a command, must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. And as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. This is a lot of passage. Don't worry, we can't cover it all. But he says, let the message about Christ, this is important. This is to keep you out of darkness. This is to overcome bad habits and bad traits that we all have. He says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. What is the message about Christ? It's this word. Let the word of God, the gospel, fill your heart, fill your life in all its richness. And he said, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. And he goes on. He said, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, this was a tough one, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. How tough is that? Whatever you do or say, do it as God, as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Anybody find that kind of hard to do? But that's what we're to do. If you don't, you're going to drop back into these dark avenues. So now, having read all that, let's just grab this first part. God chose you to be the holy people that he loves. Has everybody got that? Jesus said in Revelation, what did he say about salvation? Did he say, behold, you come to my door and knock and I let you in? No. He said, I come to the door and knock. And whoever opens that door and invites me in, I'll come in and stay with him. Have you ever gotten what he's saying to you? He's saying there's no way in the world that any human being ever comes seeking me. I seek you out. You're the lost sheep, and I go looking for the lost lamb. And I knock on your heart, and I invite you to receive me. I send my Holy Spirit to convict you of your need for me, to convict you of your sins. Friends, nobody can take any credit on this earth for ever doing anything for God. That's why we have to give him the glory and the credit. He comes and he does it for us. And so in spite of your cussing, and in spite of your temper, and in spite of all those things over there that we've read earlier in the last 2 weeks of darkness, Jesus comes knocking and says, I want you anyway. So for all of you who have a little trouble accepting yourselves or accepting other people, especially taking, loving and accepting yourself, God is saying, look, I'm knocking on your door when you're just a miserable thing. You're cussing me and taking my name in vain, and I'm knocking on your door while you're doing it. Now, what kind of a God is that? But that's the God we serve. And it's and you say, Tony, that's sure some basic stuff right there. It is, but it's the basics that get us through. And if we forget the basics, the rest won't count. So don't forget the basics. God seeks us out. And God loves us. What does He say? Where we are. He comes and knocks on the door of our hearts when we're in the middle of all this stuff and we're in darkness, and suddenly we hear the knock, and He gives us the light to see this is something better than I've ever seen in my life, and we invite Him. Come and, well, yeah, you love me? Me? Don't you know I'm an adulterer, I'm a fornicator, I'm a liar? I take your name in vain. Don't you know that I've done all this horrible stuff? I've cheated people, I've robbed somebody, I've done blah, 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 all the stuff. Don't you know that? And He's saying, of course I do. I made you. I know everything you do and think. I'm still knocking on your door, and I want you. You know why? You're made in His image, and He'll never let that go. But secondly, friend, listen to me. Jesus comes knocking in your darkness and saying, let me in. Why? Because He's not looking just at who you are at the moment. Jesus Christ is looking at who you will become if you let Him in your heart. Jesus Christ is looking at the potential standing there of a transformed individual, a born-again believer in Christ. And so we're in darkness and taking His name in vain, doing all the sins that we've been looking at, and impurity and immorality and evil desires and greed and idolatry, all that garbage, slander, dirty language, lying, doing all that kind of stuff. And He says, I'm not looking at the moment at what you're doing. I'm looking at who I can make you into. I see your potential. I see what you will become. I see what you were destined for when I created you in the womb. You've just gotten into darkness. You were born into sin. And I can transform you and make you into who I meant you to be in the first place. Everybody hearing this? That's what real Christianity is about. Jesus Christ comes into my life and He begins a transformation, and He keeps delivering me from darkness and taking all the old habits. It takes years and years and years, a lifetime, but He's purging and He's cleansing and He's delivering and He's molding me, molding you into who He destined us to be. You just got to let Him do it. Just let Him clean up your house. In the process, you say, well, in the process, what if I'm still cussing? What if I'm still struggling with all this? He knows it. He knew it before He knocked on the door. You ever thought about it? He knew when He was knocking what you were. And He came anyway. And when He was knocking on the door of your heart, He knew every sin you were ever going to commit. And He knocked on the door anyway. Could you do that? I mean, if you knew every sin your kid was ever going to commit, would you want to have kids? Think about it. Aren't you glad you don't know? But God knows. He knows every sin that His kids are going to commit, and He births us anyway and gives us the born-again eternal life experience through putting our faith in Him and repenting of our sins. Isn't it cool stuff? Can I do that? Would I go knocking on someone who's taking my name in vain? Ask yourself, would you knock on the door of someone who's cussing you in the street? Who slandered you in the street? who's lied about you? Would you go to their house and say, hey, let me come in, and hey, I'll come in and wash your dishes for you and vacuum your house and do all this work for you in spite of you out here cussing? Would you do it? I can tell you right now. Tony, would you do it? Are you that kind of guy? I doubt it. I can tell you, I'm sitting up here saying, I hope I'm that kind of guy, but could I really? As mad as I get when somebody says something ugly about me, ask her, honestly, really, are any of us capable of that? You want to know what the truth is? When Jesus Christ transforms you and he really gets a hold of your heart, you could do it if he told you to do it. I'm sure glad he hadn't asked me to do that yet. Aren't you? Are you glad he hasn't asked you to go do that yet? He'll know when you'll know when he's ready, he'll ask you to do it. He'll send you to the nastiest person around and say, won't you bake them a cake? Well, out of Ex-Lax, you know. And God said, no, that's not quite what I meant. You know, no, we're not going there. So here's what he's saying. God chose you to be what? He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you to be holy. The word holy in the Greek, there's some Greek stuff here. It's necessary in this study. I don't try to overwhelm you with that. But what it means literally from the Greek, the word holy means set apart to God. And so he chose you to be the holy people that he loves. But what does that mean? He chose you to be the people set apart to him in his image and for his image. But it means set apart to God. And the word loves or loved, he chose you to be the holy people that he loves. That word love there, you know, is tied into agape. He loves you with a sacrificial, all-giving love. You have to be you have to have a love that's beyond this phileo and brotherly and eros and all that. The love that God has doesn't look at our sins. He's looking at what we can be. He's looking at our holiness, at our potential. And he wants to take our sins. What does God want to do with your sins? Look at them the rest of your life. God wants to take your sins, which he's done when you ask him into your heart, and what he do with them? It says he cast them into the depths of the sea, and he removed them from you as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't want to look at them either. So I'm going to ask you something. Right here, right now, with this. Everybody listening? If God has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west, if he has dumped them into the sea, why do you keep reminding him of those sins that he wants rid of? Why do you keep feeling guilty and condemning yourself when Jesus Christ has set you free? He has forgiven you. He has taken those sins. Jesus took them, it says, if you read over, and even in Peter, he says Jesus took our sins on himself on the cross. So why do you want to keep reminding God of how sorry you were back there? That's the devil, friends, working on your conscience. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. And he declares you holy through his blood applied to your life. So quit walking around in condemnation and guilt all the time. If you confess your sins before God, that's over in 1 John, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he says, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Quit walking in despair, feeling like, man, what's wrong with me? God can never. God already has as a Christian. This is the stuff people call me about constantly. And they feel condemned. And I get these questions, am I going to hell? Why? Because I feel so guilty. Well, let's talk. And a lot of it is stuff they've already, you know, Jesus forgives you. Did you confess this? You know, yes. So you're not believing your Father when he says, I forgive you? He's made you holy. He loves you. Okay, so you get it. God, listen. Let me leave this wellness love part with this. John 3:16. I'm going to remind you of the most basic love passage in the whole New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Regardless of the sins you've committed. And if you read on, you know what the very next step underneath that is? I did not come in the world to judge it, but to save it. That's our hope. That's our hope. That's what we live with. And so he says, because of this, I want you to choose something. So you're chosen. You are God's choice. You're God's choice. God chose you. And then secondly, you must choose Christ now. He said, there's some things, and I want you to choose. It's in my character, and we'll talk more about his character as we go down this list. But he said, here's what I want you to choose to keep you out of darkness, to keep yourself from feeling guilty, to keep yourself from being overburdened with all the junk in the world. I want you to choose tender-hearted mercy. That's how the New Living Translation, you know, I want you, some says mercy, but tender-hearted is so good because that's more like the original Greek. And I want to tell you what, tender-hearted mercy, if we were speaking Greek here today, well, you know, that's translated in English, tender-hearted mercy. But you know what he wrote in the Greek? He said, I want you to clothe yourself with compassion, tenderness, and pity. That word is a combination of those three, compassion, tenderness, and pity. What's he saying? He's saying, I want you to see other people like I saw you when I came knocking on your door. I want you to see people that are nasty, naughty, dirty, low down vicious, just like I saw you. I wasn't looking at what you were doing at the moment. I was looking at what I was going to make you into. And I want you to learn to do that with others, and you can have compassion and tenderness and pity when you realize these people are caught by the devil. They're in his control. He has them. He owns them. They've never repented of their sins. And so really they're doing what they don't have a choice. They're doing what they're born into sin, but they have the choice to receive Jesus. And he said, that's what we're here to do, to go into all the world. And don't forget, don't judge a person for what they're doing today. Look at the potential for what they have tomorrow and give them a chance to ask Jesus Christ in their heart. You want to really get even with the enemy? You want to really see some things get weird in a hurry? Why don't we, just listen to me for a minute. What if we started praying for all these people we don't like in the political arena and asked God to save them? Wouldn't that be a riot? For some of those who are so anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-church, and boy, I pray against that, and so should you. But what if they got saved? Now that'd turn some chairs over, wouldn't it? And really, when it comes down to it, isn't that what we're supposed to be praying? Really? And we got to get past our human emotions. You don't have to like what people are doing, but pray for them to get saved. And here's my prayer. You don't have to do my prayer. This is what I'm led to pray. I ask God to save them. But until they repent and ask Jesus in their heart, I'm asking God to take them out of places of influence. To humble them, so that they'll ask Christ in their heart and quit depending on their money and their position, their power. But I'm asking for their salvation. But in the meantime, take them off their throne. That's my prayer. That's how I'm led to pray. You say, I'm not led to pray that way. Okay. That's cool. That's me. Cool is an old ancient word, but it's still cool. It's good. So tender-hearted mercy. And then what does he say? I want you to have kindness. And that's tied in with mercy. But the word in the Greek literally means, I want you to have goodness and graciousness. But get this. There's two Greek words that combine here. And the other one means, you're going to love this. Everybody ready for this other part of that? This kindness he's talking, man, right? And this is tough on guys. This is hard on me. Do you know what the rest of that translation means? Sweetness of disposition. Now, I know, ladies, I'm sorry. Let me say this for the ladies. This is for the ladies. It means sweetness of disposition. For the guys, it means sweetness of disposition. Okay, so that covers everybody. He said, I want you to be really sweet in the way you get along with people. And I've read that, and I was looking at that, and I said, can I have a mistranslation here? Now, I really have to say this, especially if the guy's listening. Tony, you're up here talking. You want me to be sweet in my disposition? Well, that's what it says. Thank you. Thank you kindly, ma'am. She said, and you are. Thank you very much. Maybe I could say it in a different way. you know, and say, I just want you to be a spoonful of sugar in a very sour world. Okay, I got that. Okay. That's what kindness is. It's just goodness and graciousness, but it means I got a sweet disposition. You know what it really means? Everybody with me on this? It means that you're pretty easy to get along with. And you do it without compromising the Word of God. You're just an open person, and you listen, and you care. We'll move on. Because he's talking about, and we won't cover all these in detail, but I'll give you some of the main points. You can read the rest for yourself. But he talks about then humility. And you know, he said, I want you to be tenderhearted, mercy, kindness, and then just humility. And that's tied in with gentleness. That from the Greek means you are considerate of the rights and feelings of other people. Can be more Christian than that. Let me put this in here because it's important. When he's saying, I want you to be considerate of other people, friends, do you know where that has to start? In your own heart. Would you please be considerate to yourself? How am I going to be considerate to you if I'm not considerate to myself? Quit beating yourself up and telling God how unlovable and unlovely you are when he says you're the most lovely, beautiful of my creation. I died for you. My blood makes you beautiful in my sight. Don't put yourself down anymore. Love yourself. Not in love with yourself. We see way too many people in love with themselves. That's not what we're talking about. He's talking about, what did he say? Love your neighbor as you what? Love you, yourself. He said, I want you to love who I am in you. I want you to love the fact that my spirit's in you. I want you to love the fact that you are my temple now. Your body is the temple, living God, temple of the Holy Spirit. I want you to love that in yourself. I want you to love the fact that sin is not hanging off of you anymore and that you're not in the clutches of the devil. That's what we started this Colossians series with. You've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God. And he said, if you're going to be kind and considerate and loving, if you're going to fulfill any of this towards other people, you first must do it towards yourself. And let my love come into your heart. And quit walking around feeling like that you're the one single martyr of the universe. You're not. Jesus was martyred for you. Jesus was beaten and tortured for you. Jesus bled for you. Let your heart be free. Let his love. When I'm condemning myself, when I don't love me, and I see myself as a wretched creature, a no good thing, you know what, God, I'm doing to my Father? I'm saying your love's not good enough. Your blood's not pure enough. You don't have what it takes to make me clean, and he's made me white as snow. Amen. I got one with somebody else. That's what you are. And so be considerate to yourself. Wake up in the morning and say, thank you, God, that I'm the temple of the Lord. Thank you that you've taken a sinful person like me and turned me into what? Your child who will inherit your kingdom. And God, today I'll be considerate to myself. I'm not going to put myself down today. A lot of depression would go away, by the way, and a lot of discouragement if you just learned to be considerate to yourself and love who you are in Christ. You're a child of the King. My Father is God. Can't get better than that. I'm his child. So get over it. And accept his love. And you can go out and be a lot more loving towards other people and more gentle. And then, of course, here's the one that everybody, I don't have to harp on this one. Patience. Nobody needs me to talk about that. Okay. What's all this muttering and giggling I'm hearing under, you know, that? Everybody in this room is full of patience, aren't they? Is everybody here wish wait on the Lord? Nobody ever jumps ahead of God in this room, do they? You say, Tony, don't push that too far. You know, God is listening to you. You know, that word, by the word, you say, what does it mean in the Greek? I know you were asking that. Yeah. You know what it really meant? Patient meant self. This is a long title. Okay, but here it is. It meant self-restraint that enables you, self-restraint, let's put it this way, self-restraint that enables to bear injury and insult without resorting to retaliation. I'll say it again. Self-restraint enabling to bear injury and insult without resorting to retaliation. That's what this word for this passage meant. We know that patience also means waiting and long-suffering, but the word he was using here to clothe yourself with for this, and in the Greek, many words mean different things. Yeah, that's what it meant here. And I want you to know, and I will pray for you and ask you to pray for me that we can do this, that I can do this, because this is not easy. And to do it, I need tenderhearted mercy, and I need kindness, and I need gentleness. Do you see this order? This is like an order that leads up to the tougher things. So I can't have this kind of patience if I don't have tenderhearted mercy and kindness and gentleness in my heart. See, they're all tied together. They're linked. This is what makes me and makes you into the people of God. I'm talking true Christians that God wants us to be. And by the way, with gentleness and consideration, yeah, please be kind and gentle to you. Don't look in that mirror anymore. Refuse to do this. Don't look in that mirror anymore and put yourself down. See through your face. See through your hair color. See through wrinkles. Whatever else it is that you're focusing on. Can you look in the mirror and see something besides flesh? Can you look in the mirror and see the holiness of God and maybe get just a slight sneak preview of the new body that you're going to have? And thank God for it. You're not ugly. You don't have wrinkles. You just got an earth suit that's going to be changed for a heaven suit. You're going to get a new space suit. Be looking forward to it. And it won't wrinkle. And it won't hurt. And hips won't hurt. Shoulders won't hurt. I can't use loppers like I used to. Loppers are killing me anymore. Anybody having lopper trouble? Okay. Yeah. I've already been lectured to... You know, Justin has already lectured me about, you know, keep lopping and you're going to get lopped. Okay? So the loppers are out. But, you know, but I'm going to get a new body that can take and just bend loppers into a horseshoe. Really? Seriously? Think about it. And so when you look in the mirror, can you look beyond yourself and ask God to show, God, can you just let me see the holiness of God radiating out from me today? That's the beauty of the Lord. And that makes you all very handsome and very beautiful in the eyes of God. There's not an ugly person in the kingdom of God. We're all beautiful in His sight. You need to hear that. You need to grab it. Let me close. And I bet you're saying, thank God. Okay, so I'm closing. You must choose the character of Christ and that you want. This is what we put on, and then we choose His character. And the character of Christ is to forgive other people. You're not going to forgive anybody if you don't let the Lord forgive you. So let Him forgive you. I struggled with this for a long time. I did. I had a lot of anger issues. I had a lot of stuff. And you can imagine from the things I've shared, from the way I grew up, my life wasn't a fun life as a child. And so I had to deal with stuff that to me wasn't fair, but it was real. And it took a lot of years to finally begin to face the fact that I'm not going to get anywhere if I don't let Jesus have this hurt that's in my life. And my anger came from hurt. I never had a mom or mom's love, didn't know what it was. And all I could see a mom doing was just beating the dickens out of you, or clawing your face, or locking you out. That's all I knew. I don't say that to draw attention to myself at all. I'm simply saying to you this. I had to let God deliver me from that so I could see myself as someone that He loves very much. I shared with a group of men here a couple years ago, and I told them this, and I want to share this with you today. We all look at God as the tough, almighty male God, but you know what God did for me? God became my mother. And God showed me a mother's love and that tenderness and compassion. And God helped me to have a tenderness and a heart that was so hardened and so angry at being hurt as a child. And He replaced that with a maternal love that a mother can give. And I learned that God's not only a father, but He's a darn good mom. And He can put in your heart the love of a mother. And if you never had this, don't use it as an excuse. Accept into your life that God will be to you whatever you need Him to be. And He can replace the lost love, lost relationships, lost childhoods. He can replace that and give you a fulfillment. He can restore joy. And He can help you wake up in the morning and look out on this planet Earth and say, I have a father, I have a mother, I have a brother, I have a friend, I have a Savior, I have a God, and I have a home. What else can I ask for? That's what's in here. That's what's for each and every one of us. I know this is just coming from my heart, but I want you to get it. That's how I go into the world. And in the rest of this, He says, let the peace, His love and His peace and the Word of God, all that comes. It comes through just opening up and letting Him love you and letting Him be to you what you need Him to be. And let God be to you today. If it's peace, let Him be your peace. If it's love, let Him be your love. If you need a father, if you need a friend, if you need a comforter, if you need a counselor, if you just want somebody to listen, don't you realize He's saying, I'm the best listener in the universe. I'll be whatever you need me and want me to be for you because I love you so much. And I want you, and you're mine, and I'll never let you go. Amen. Before we have the Lord's Supper, let's pray right now. I'm going to ask you, if you've never experienced this kind of love, this kind of relationship, fellowship with God, will you ask Him in your heart right now? Will you say, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me my sin? Just say that. Just pray. If you need a little help, just raise your hand. I'll come to you. Or you can come up here. We'll all gather around. We'll do whatever you want to do. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to help you. If you say, man, I have gotten out of fellowship. I have gotten out from under this. Come back. Come back. Just say, God, forgive me. I've been wondering. I'm loose. I'm out from under that umbrella protection. I've moved in my fellowship with you. Come back. God, forgive me. He'll forgive. God, restore me. He'll restore. God, bring me under your wings again. As a mother hen, right? As a hen gathers her chicks, God, gather me back to you. I repent. Come back to me. Whatever it is, do it. Do it. Ask Him in your heart. Ask Him to be your Savior. Ask Him to be your Lord. In Jesus' name, God, be this to all of us and restore the joy of our salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.